Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, September 20th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Case Against MCS Administrators Dismissed. Judge Jeff Robnett on Monday dismissed the indictments, according to court documents. By Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. Judge Jeff Robnett on Monday dismissed the indictments against two former Midland Christian School administrators, according to court documents. Jared Lee and Dana Ellis' indictments were dismissed after the 142nd District Court found that they did not, quote, meet elements of offense, unquote. The 11th Court of Appeals in Eastland also dismissed the Midland County District Attorney's Office appeal of Robnett's dismissal ruling of Matthew Counts' indictment. Lee, Ellis, and Counts were indicted in November 2022 by a Midland County grand jury in relation to an incident where a student was allegedly, quote, abused, unquote. And the state claimed officials, quote, failed to make a report, unquote, within 48 hours after he or she first had reasonable cause to believe that the abuse took place. Here is Frank Sellers, attorney for Jared Lee, statement to the Reporter Telegram in its entirety. The last of three baseless prosecutions of nine dedicated lifelong educators finally ended today. Jared Lee and his family are overjoyed this case finally landed at the Ector County DA's office, who agreed in the dismissal no crime was committed. Reputations ruined, careers destroyed, and so much other devastation in the process. Sadly, this is what happens when a district attorney involves themselves in and directs investigations of incidents they later prosecute. If you believe Laura Nodolph or any Midland district attorney investigated your case prior to arrest and then later prosecuted you, please reach out to us. It's time to do something. Lee, Ellis, and Counts are three of the five current or former Midland Christian employees to sue the City of Midland, the Midland Police Department, and Detective Jenny Alonzo, following the grand jury's decision to not indict in May. The case is Jared Lee et al., the City of Midland et al., in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Texas. Lee was the former school superintendent, Ellis a former principal, and Counts a former assistant principal and current staff member. The other plaintiffs are former athletic director Greg McClendon and former head baseball coach Barry Russell. In mid-February of 2022, the five administrators were arrested for the alleged failure to report with intent to conceal, neglect, or abuse. In May, a Midland County grand jury no-billed or opted to not indict the Midland Christian officials. Still, four of the five arrested offered their resignations and did not return to the school. Weeks after the first Midland Christian arrests, Midland Police Department officers arrested four Trinity School of Midland officials, including its head of school and top brass in the middle and upper schools. The 14-month legal saga ended in April with the dropping of charges against the Trinity School of Midland's Shelby Hammer, Todd Fries, Crystal Myers, and Adrienne Clifton. This article is entitled, Dog Featured on Pet of the Week, Reunited with Family After 2 Years Apart. By Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. A Midland family has been reunited with its pet after 2 years of being missing. Midland Animal Services reported on its Facebook page that the family was reunited with Cash after seeing his photo in this week's Pet of the Week. Sporting a pirate hat and accompanied by a stuffed toy parrot, Cash, a male Australian Shepherd mix, was featured on the Pirates-themed edition on September 11th. Cash, whose given name is Teddy, is about 7 to 8 years old, according to his owner, Katie Anderson. Anderson saw Teddy's photo last week and immediately sent it to her husband, Aaron. The Andersons were at Midland Animal Services within 30 minutes, according to Katie. While at the meet and greet area, Teddy immediately went to Aaron and didn't leave his side, Anderson said. Teddy went missing in November 2021 when he got out through a door that was accidentally left open while the Andersons were on vacation. After 6 months of searching for him, the Andersons believed that Teddy was with a great home. Back at home, Anderson said he walked in and knew exactly where things were in the house. He's already fit back in like he hadn't been gone. Pet of the Week is published on the Midland Animal Services Facebook page and on the Midland Reporter Telegram every week. Thanks to Tasha Sport, those dogs and cats waiting for their forever home are showcased in a different light. As previously reported on MRT.com, Sport brought costumes and weekly themes to the animal showcase, showing off the personality of an animal ready to leave the Midland Animal Shelter for a living room and backyard of a responsible pet owner. Since I first started photographing, my goal and motto has always been, if it helps save just one, all the time, money, and effort is 100% worth it. I'm truly at my happiest with a camera in hand and a dog in front of my lens, Sport said via email. The Andersons are grateful for those photos. Without them going and taking these photos, we wouldn't be reunited with Teddy. Midland Animal Services also reported that two of the staff favorites, Thatch and Randy, were adopted after being in the shelter for over 30 days. Thatch, a one-year-old male pit bull mix, was also featured in the Pirates-themed edition. Randy, a three-year-old male pit bull mix, was featured in the August 28th edition that helped kick off high school football. It makes us all very happy to see a family become whole again, and two sweet dogs find their forever home, Midland Animal Services said on the Facebook post. Interested in adopting? Contact the shelter to set an appointment at 432-685-7420. The shelter is located at 1200 North Fairgrounds Road. Hours of operation are 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. This article is entitled Downtown Library Closed Due to Air Conditioning Issues by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. The downtown library will be closed until further notice, according to a Midland County spokesperson. Air conditioning system issues forced the closure. All activities have also been canceled. However, all passport appointments will be kept as scheduled. Anyone with an appointment should call 432-688-4342 upon arrival of their appointment to be escorted into the building. For the appointment, they should meet at the east side staff entrance near the hot air balloon sculpture. We apologize for the inconvenience and are working to get the issue resolved as quickly as possible, library officials shared on Facebook. This article is entitled Exxon Tests Lithium Extracted from Fracking Wastewater by Mitchell Furman, Bloomberg. ExxonMobil Corporation is experimenting with the extraction of lithium from wastewater produced in the fracking process, as the largest U.S. oil company explores ways it can enter the market for the battery metal. While its lithium activities are at an early stage, production of the metal at scale would be a big business even for a company of Exxon's size. The metal is a crucial component in electric vehicle batteries, and long-term projections point to a looming global supply deficit. Lithium has traditionally been produced from hard rock mines in Australia and salty waters in South America. But the bullish demand outlook has spurred various attempts to extract it from unconventional resources, such as oil field and geothermal brines. Exxon is looking at how to utilize its expertise in fracking of oil and gas from shale rock, which involves the use of large volumes of water. One of the advantages of lithium from subsurface brines is it's a lot less energy intensive and emissions intensive than, say, the hard rock mining that is common today. Matt Crocker, Senior Vice President for Exxon's Low Carbon Solutions business, said in an interview Tuesday. It's actually got some pretty good ESG benefits associated with it. Exxon has been in talks with automakers, including Tesla Inc., about supplying them with lithium, people familiar with the matter said in July. The company has also purchased drilling rights in parts of Arkansas, with a view to producing lithium, the Wall Street Journal reported in May. This article is entitled, Is Bass Pro Shops Going Elsewhere? Councilman Dan Corrales tells radio station KWEL that Bass Pro Shops might go elsewhere and wants more incentives. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Is the Bass Pro Shops deal done? At-large City Councilman Dan Corrales told radio station KWEL on Tuesday that developers have stated Bass Pro Shops might go elsewhere and that they are wanting more incentives. Corrales said, "We had a deal with them. We still have a deal with them. But added conversations are that developers want property tax abatements not to be stepped, but 100% throughout the deal, and want an extension of the sales tax rebate." In August, the Midland City Council voted for officials to revisit incentives for the development that includes Bass Pro Shop in Northwest Midland. It begs the question, what is Midland getting to give them a few extra $1 million, Corrales told the radio station. Would a businessman or businesswoman make that decision based on the return of investment? Corrales referenced Mayor Lori Blong's column in the Tuesday Reporter Telegram that mentioned, "We are a city of good investors. We ought to have a city that can make good investments." Blong also stated in the column that CrownQuest CEO Tim Dunn supports the investment and that, quote, "We came up with an approach that we hope gives us a good start on focusing public debate on what's good for the city and being transparent with the data," unquote. About the mayor's opinion article, Corrales stated, "That is something for us to discuss, and it will be part of a continuing conversation." Corrales also said the community should have a discussion about what is a wise spending of taxpayers' money. City leaders have already approved a property tax abatement, a sales tax abatement, and a $5 million Midland Development Corporation investment for the developer. County leaders have approved a 10-year property tax abatement and a 10-year sales tax rebate. C. Hodges Development Services plans a $45 million entertainment retail complex on 17.345 acres at State Highways 191 and 158. Under the Master Development Agreement, the MDC has agreed to contribute up to $5 million in infrastructure funding for roads, drainage, water, and other infrastructure. That includes two roads, an east-west extension of Sinclair Avenue, and a new north-south road. Once complete, all infrastructure will be dedicated to the City of Midland. Bass Pro Shops has announced in a press release it plans to open a retail store in Midland in late 2024. The following are things to know about the City's current agreement with C. Hodges Development Services, LP. The Tax Abatement Reinvestment Zone calls for a tax abatement for Hodges for improvements, including a building containing at least 55,000 square feet of retail and restaurant space. The estimated costs of those improvements cannot be less than $15 million. The property tax abatement is for 10 years on the 11.578-acre property located northwest of the intersection of State Highways 191 and 158. The proposed agreement includes a 100% abatement for years 1 and 2, 80% abatement for years 3 and 4, 60% abatement for years 5 and 6, 40% abatement for years 7 and 8, and a 20% abatement for years 9 and 10, according to the agreement. Rebate notice. There is a sales tax rebate. At any time within 2 years, following any phase within the property being open to the general public and obtaining a certificate of occupancy, the company shall have the right to provide written notice to the city of its election to commence the sales tax rebate as to that phase and the date of the commencement thereof, the city reports. Any rebate term requires the city to make a rebate payment once a year back to the company and continues for 7 years. The city also includes a waiver of development fees. Those fees waived in connection with and applicable to the development of the property include permitting fees, inspection fees, utility connection fees, plan examination fees, and water and sewer tap fees. The developer will receive up to $5 million from the Midland Development Corporation for infrastructure costs. Infrastructure funding requires construction and completion of paving, drainage, water, and wastewater infrastructure improvements required for the two streets located at the northwest corner of the intersection of State Highway 191 and State Highway 158, which shall be dedicated to the city, and any other infrastructure improvements serving the property that may be approved by the MDC Board of Directors in a future amendment to the agreement. The infrastructure funding cap is $5 million. This article is entitled, MC President Discusses Workforce, Student Success, by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Midland College's President Damon Kennedy assumed his role on July 1st. Since then, students have enrolled and classes at the college are underway for the 2023-24 academic year. The college's fifth president discussed the early steps being taken to ensure that workforce development and student success remain the institution's strong points. Kennedy said that when it comes to student success, college officials will continue to do what they know works, like tutoring services, financial assistance, non-academic services for students with children, or those working multiple jobs, and trying to better their lives through higher education. In addition to sticking to what works, Kennedy said the college is building out new programs, like energy technology and diesel technology, so that students can have the education and training necessary to find quality jobs in Midland. A big step in the development of career and technical education at the college, according to Kennedy, is first expanding facilities and adding more room for students. When you look at college and career academies and students in our dual credit programs in CTE, what you find is the success rate among those students outpace the success rates of a broader population. whether that's Midland College or MISD, Kennedy said. Additionally, the demographic of our college and career academies students exactly matches the demographic of our community. Kennedy added that the college is operating at full capacity when it comes to programs like patient care technician, pharmacy technician, welding, automotive, and energy technology. What we want to be able to do is construct a facility at Midland College or reorganize facilities that we have at Midland College so more dual credit students can take advantage of those opportunities, he said. The school is conducting a facilities audit to gain a clearer understanding of the utilization of rooms and buildings on campus. Advice from the college's workforce development programs and outside studies help inform Midland College leaders on current regional workforce needs and future regional workforce needs. We have representatives from key employers within the community, whether that's the energy industry or health professions. We get a lot of participation from businesses, Kennedy said. In addition, Kennedy shared that the Permian Strategic Partnership conducted a study that investigated current employment needs of the energy sector as well as future needs. It was really informative when it came to new programming, Kennedy said. As we move forward and start talking about expansion of CTE and the need for new facilities, we got into those conversations and into those projects very well informed. On September 12th, the college celebrated the building and opening of its Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence. The Center for Teaching Excellence, according to both MISD and Midland College leaders, was in large part created to mold quality educators that can fill the teacher shortage in Midland and surrounding local areas. In a press release announcing ribbon cutting at the Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence, Kennedy stated, "Two important aspects of our mission as a community college are to improve quality of life in our community and prepare individuals for satisfying careers that meet the region's workforce needs. This partnership will help Midland College fulfill that mission." Kennedy first arrived at Midland College as a faculty member in 2004. He said in his near 20 years at the college, he's done a little bit of everything. "It just means that you have a full lay of the land. You understand what the challenges are here, what the opportunities are here, and I promise there are far more opportunities than there are challenges right now," Kennedy said. This article is entitled, "Midland's AST Space Mobile Inc. Reports Step Toward Global 5G Service," from Bloomberg News. AST Space Mobile Inc. shares jumped after the company said it completed a 5G call between Hawaii and Spain using its satellite and a smartphone, claiming a first in the race to serve places where wireless networks don't reach. The phone used in the call had no app, no special SIM cards, nothing special. "It's the phone exactly like you have in your pocket," Space Mobile chairman Abdel Avalan said in an interview. Shares rose 5.1% to $4 at 10:04 a.m. in New York after jumping as much as 13% in trading Tuesday. Companies are vying to offer service when the world's estimated 5 billion mobile phones stray outside cell coverage areas. The new services aim to offer connections using normal consumer mobile phones rather than specialized equipment. Companies moving toward that goal include T-Mobile US Inc., which has a partnership with Elon Musk's Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, as well as Link Global Inc., which says it is sending and receiving text messages to and from space via standard unmodified mobile devices. The Midland-based company said it placed a call on September 8th from a wireless dead zone near Hana, Hawaii, to a Vodafone Group PLC engineer in Madrid. The call used AT&T Inc. frequencies and Space Mobile's Blue Walker 3 test satellite. Separately, the equipment achieved a download rate of about 14 megabits per second, the company said. With this, we have demonstrated the ability to put 5G in every corner of the planet, Avalon said. 5G, or the fifth generation of mobile telephony, describes a suite of technologies that is coming into wide use following the 4G service that connects many phones today. 5G service is often envisioned as fast, far exceeding the U.S. definition of broadband of 25 megabits per second. Avalon said AST SpaceMobile is limited by a small set of test frequencies and can achieve greater speeds with a broader swath of airwaves. SpaceMobile's Blue Walker 3 test satellite is the forerunner of a planned globe-circling fleet. Chris Sambar, head of network at AT&T, likened the technology to putting a cell tower in space. I'm pretty confident that at some point here in the not-too-distant future, we're going to have a 5G wherever we want it, as long as you can see a satellite, Sambar said in an interview. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled, Oil Industry Attacks IEA for Politicization Over Climate Outlook, by Robert Tuttle, Devika Krishnakumar, and Mitchell Furman, Bloomberg. The opening day of the World Petroleum Congress, a major oil industry conference, saw consensus on at least one point: scorn for the International Energy Agency and its perceived politicization amid the climate debate. Saudi Arabia's energy minister, the head of a group of African oil producers, and the premier of Alberta, which is hosting the event in Calgary, all weighed in Monday with criticism of the Paris-based agency. In the past 2 years, the IEA has said the world must make an attempt to stop developing new oil fields and other sources of fossil fuels, or face a dangerous rise in global temperatures. Just last week, it said oil demand may plateau this decade as consumers shift to renewable energy. All of this represents a departure for the IEA, an intergovernmental organization that, for most of its near five-decade history, has worked to help secure crude supplies for industrialized nations. It's also at odds with Saudi Arabia and its OPEC Plus allies, plus many other major producers who advocate for a long-term future for oil and the use of carbon capture to cut emissions. They've moved from being a forecaster and assessors of market to one for political advocacy, Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman said of the IEA. That's their choice. Alberta Premier Danielle Smith said the agency's projection that the world must cut oil production by 75% in the next 30 years to achieve net zero global carbon emissions was ludicrous. We know for sure that IEA will say everything it can say in order to scare the world from investing in fossil fuels, Omar Farouk Ibrahimar, Secretary General of the African Petroleum Producers Organization, said during a press conference. A spokesperson for the IEA couldn't immediately be reached for comment. The IEA has said that oil demand must crater to about 25 million barrels a day by 2050, from about 100 million now, in order to get to net zero. Some leading figures in the oil industry have countered that such an outlook ignores likely growth in global energy demand and the scope for carbon capture technology to mitigate carbon emissions. "I like what the Saudi energy minister had to say this morning," said Smith, the conservative premier of a province that holds the world's third largest oil reserves. "You've got to live in the real world, not on computer models." Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman actually challenged the group to find a single time that the IEA has had a single projection that has been correct. "It takes a leap of faith to think that if they have never been correct, that they will be correct by 2050. This article is entitled Permian Strategic Partnership. PSP Eyes Academic Medical Center by Stuart Dormeen, staff writer. The Permian Strategic Partnership is working to bring an academic medical center to the Permian Basin. The long-term project, at least a 10-year vision, would provide better care for more Permian Basin residents, allow more residents to stay in Midland-Odessa to receive quality health care, and would diversify the region's economy, according to PSP officials. "We've got a major focus on health care that will be centered at State Highway 191 and Farm-to-Market Road 1788, said PSP board chair Don Evans. "The academic medical clinic will be located in an area which currently houses the UTPB Engineering Building and Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. It will also be adjacent to the site where the Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center will be located." Evans pointed to a study which stated that 46% of those surveyed indicated they go elsewhere to get their health care. "We're laser-focused on making sure when people live in the Permian Basin, and not just in the desert, they get high-quality health care," Evans said. "We're leaning into it in a big way, and we've been fortunate that we've had two school systems that are very much involved with us, Texas Tech and the University of Texas system." Last week, the PSP announced that both university systems have joined the coalition of member companies. "They are very much involved with helping lay out a strategic plan for expanding, improving healthcare," Evans said. PSP Executive Director Tracy Bentley added that the expansion of healthcare opportunities in Midland-Odessa will also be a huge opportunity for us to begin to diversify our economy. Bentley stated that studies show healthcare is 30% of a similar-sized community, especially when you take Midland and Odessa and put them together and maybe add some rural parts. She said that percentage is 8 or 9% in Midland-Odessa. "Imagine if 30% of our economy was driven by health care," Bentley said. "How amazing will that be? We think we can get there slowly over time. But that's just one opportunity that we see to not only bring amazing top-quality health care, but to bring about diversification." Permian Strategic Partnership investments in healthcare include a $12.8 million gift to the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center for a surgical and subspecialty resident training program to operate in the Permian Basin, a $10.6 million donation to UTPB to cover tuition and fees for undergraduates majoring in nursing, pre-med, pre-dental, and pre-pharmacy. $12.5 million for the construction of the Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center. $5.9 million for a Texas Tech Family Medicine Residency and Mental Health Fellowship Initiative. $2.5 million for a Texas Tech Physician Assistant Initiative. $4 million for an Odessa College Nursing Expansion Initiative. $5 million for a UTPB Licensed Behavioral Health Professionals Initiative. $2.3 million for Permian Basin Counseling and Guidance Centers. $800,000 for mobile medical vans. This article is entitled Yellen. Oil climb undesirable, but should stabilize in time. By Christopher Condon and Victoria Dendrenou, Bloomberg. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the recent increase in oil prices is unwanted, but they should stabilize in time, with the U.S. economy still on track for a soft landing. Market expectations indicate that oil prices will stabilize and move down over time, Yellen said in an interview with MSNBC on Tuesday, adding that that was her own hope and expectation also. Benchmark Brent crude oil topped $95 a barrel for the first time since November on Tuesday. Yellen said that the increase reflects in part a previous decision by Saudi Arabia to maintain cuts in oil production, and also the economic recovery, albeit slower than expected, from pandemic lockdowns in China. "We're really on a good path toward a soft landing," she said, with regard to the U.S. outlook. Yellen reiterated that the labor market is strong, inflation is coming down, and there is a lot of momentum in the economy. The Treasury chief reiterated that there is no reason for Congress to impose a shutdown of the federal government by failing to enact appropriations for the new fiscal year that starts October 1st. She said the Treasury hasn't modeled the impact of a shutdown on the economy, which would depend importantly on how long it lasted. This is the Life Tributes column. Fern Danielle Gorey, November 6, 1927 to August 22, 2023. Fern Danielle Gorey's whole life was focused on unending love for her God and others. Born on November 6, 1927 in Barstow, Texas to Cora and Henry Matthew Heath. Fern grew up in Andrews. Until having graduated early from high school at 16, she left for Howard Payne University. There, she met her husband, J. Charles Danielle Sr., who was her pastor, and whom she married in 1945 at 18. After J. Sr. died in 1975, while continuing to work in the schools, Fern served Emmanuel Baptist Church in Midland, Michigan. Fern returned to West Texas upon retirement and at age 70 married a Howard Payne friend, William Grimes Gorey. Together, they worked in First Baptist Church Midland, serving on the mission committee and teaching Sunday school class. In 2021, Fern moved in with her daughter in Los Angeles, California, providing joy and inspiration for her family and others who met her. Fern is survived by her husband, William Gorey, of Fort Collins, Colorado, daughters Deborah Danielle, Danny Averett of Midland, Becca Danielle, Paul Sewell of Los Angeles, Ellen Danielle Bierlein, Rick Bierlein of Allegan, Michigan, daughter-in-law Sylvia Danielle McCree, J. Danielle Jr. deceased, 9 grandchildren and 8 great-grandchildren. A memorial service was held at Walnut Creek Baptist Church in Austin on Sunday, September 3rd. Celebration of Life services will be at First Baptist Church in Midland on Thursday, September 21st at 1 p.m. and at First Baptist Church, Beverly Hills, California on Sunday, September 24th at 1:30 p.m. If there is a desire to make a donation, the family is suggesting Gaborone Baptist Church in Botswana. The donation should be directed to First Baptist Church Midland with a memo stating Memorial for Fern Gorey. First Baptist Church will forward the donations to Gaborone Baptist Church. Caleb Stickle, December 29, 1988 to August 31, 2023. Caleb Royce Stickle was born in Midland to Leonard and Teresa Stickle on December 29, 1988. He graduated from Robert E. Lee High School in 2007 and had a passion for baseball, where he excelled as a shortstop and center field. He married Christina Saverance on May 16, 2013, and immediately began raising a baseball team of his own that consisted of six crazy kids. Caleb was preceded in death by his father, Leonard Stickle, maternal grandparents, Master Sergeant Charles and Kazuko Thomas, paternal grandmother Marie Sharp, adoptive grandparents Royce and Patsy Marriott. Caleb was survived by his wife Christina and children Hunter, Kaylin, Dixie, Gunner, Tedda, and Rush. He was also survived by his mother Teresa Stickle, sister Hannah, brother Daniel, Kristen, in-laws Jess and Robin Saverance, Ridge Saverance, Katie, and Isaac Smith, as well as many nieces and nephews, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Memorial service will be held at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, September 23rd at Alamo Heights Baptist Church in Midland, with Pastor Larry Long officiating. Arrangements are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to Tall City VFW Post 7208 and or Hunt for Heroes Show of Support, Midland, Texas. Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington, age 77, of Midland, went to be with the Lord September 12th. A visitation will be held Friday, September 22nd, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, starting at 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Funeral services will begin at 1 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Military honors will be presented by the United States Army. Viewing will resume after the services until 4 p.m. Cremation services have been arranged to follow. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Francis Van Curen. Francis Van Curen, 85, of Midland, passed away September 18th. Memorial service will be held at 10:30 a.m., Saturday, September 23rd, at Golf Course Road Church of Christ. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Maurilio Galindo Caballero. Maurilio Galindo Caballero, 83, of Odessa, passed away Saturday, September 16th, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. September 22nd at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial to follow at American Heritage Cemetery. Father Carlos Felipe is officiating. Arrangements have been entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home of Midland.
City holding meeting again on tax increase. The Odessa City Council is holding a special meeting Friday afternoon to once again vote on an increase in property taxes. According to materials provided to the City Council, an error was made in creating the public notice about the tax increase, and the 3 p.m. Friday meeting is being held to correct the error. Public notices must be published on the homepage of the City of Odessa's website and in the Odessa American. The city is attributing the error to the Ector County Appraisal District. Last week, the council was asked to ratify a tax rate of $0.483791 per $100 valuation and did so. While the rate is the same as last year, it is considered a tax increase on Odessians as it brings in more money than last year. A majority of that money will come from the new property added to the tax roll, but some will also come from properties that appraise higher than they did last year. The council could have voted to lower the rate and bring in the same amount of property tax revenue as last year. This week, the city is again opening a public hearing on the tax increase, and a summary of the agenda item expressly states The new rate means the city of Odessa is proposing to increase property taxes for the 2023 tax year. No such language was included in last week's materials. The summary also includes rules about public hearing requirements, public notices, and when the council is allowed to vote on proposed tax rates. Again, none of that language was included the first time around. Ross Leek, the committee clerk for the Texas Senate's Tax Policy Committee, commented on the incorrect posting of the tax rate on X, formerly known as Twitter. He said the city's notice contained glaring miscalculations / errors, was likely out of compliance with the notice provisions of the tax code, and could subject the adoption of their tax rate to litigation. Interim Director of Finance Seth Bowles has said the increase will bring in roughly $2.5 million, or 5% more than last year, and of that amount, $1.9 million will come from new property added to the tax roll this year. After holding the public hearing, the City Council is scheduled to ratify the increase again and discuss levying the tax for the 2023 tax year and FY23-24. Although the final vote on the proposed tax rate was originally set for September the 26th, it will now occur on September the 28th. The council is also scheduled to discuss removing Bowles as an authorized signer on city funds and adding new city manager John Beckmeyer and budget manager Monica Munoz. In addition to seeing a tax increase, Odessians can also expect a 6% increase in both the water and sewer rates and a 3.5% increase in solid waste rates. The council voted to increase those last week as well. OC Electrical Lineman Program makes a move. Having moved the Odessa College Electrical Lineman Program next to Gregory D. Williams Hall, things are a little more posh for students and more cost-effective. Associate Dean of Continuing Education, Luis Gonzalez, said something that benefits the students is that when they were at the previous location near I-20 and West County Road, that was pretty much all they ever saw. They never stepped foot on campus, and they were far away from the campus and campus resources. Gonzalez noted that students were in portables and technology access wasn't great, and now they can post more YouTube videos on specific things they are learning. Gonzalez said the new location is much better. They're in our computer labs doing the work they needed to do, he added. They have a protected area in case of bad weather. The climbing yard with 21 poles is nearby where students can practice doing the work of linemen. Now they're part of the campus and our student life, Gonzalez said. He added that moving the program has made it more visible to people in town. The OC Lineman program started in September of 2017 with 11 students. Currently, there are 17 students enrolled. They are averaging 15 to 19 students. There is typically a woman in each class. It's capped at 20, and the course lasts 16 weeks. Class meets on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., and on Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Typically, the instructors are Encore employees. The cost is $8,000 and includes their safety belts, their boots, and certain tools. The boots have steel toes, but also a steel plate that runs through the bottom and hooks that help them climb. They wear gloves that are rated for 26,000 volts, and they're vacuum-sealed, fire-retardant clothing. Gonzalez said companies told them it would be beneficial for the students to have the clothing and tools because it would make them more marketable. I think it's been a big benefit for all of our students. So now they have their own gear. They've broken the gear. They know how to use it. They know how to work with the tools. So they're much more efficient in what they do, Gonzalez said. During the course, safety is emphasized. They talk about tools, electricity, whether it's overhead or underground, and transformers, how to dig and set posts, and how to operate and maneuver a bucket truck. They still have to learn how to climb because there are times when a bucket truck can't get where it needs to go, Gonzalez said. The belts the linemen have around them are like seat belts, meant to catch you if you start falling. If someone is climbing and gets electrocuted, the goal is to get them down in less than 5 minutes and an ambulance on the way. The linemen typically travel in pairs for safety. Gonzalez added that the companies are ready to scoop them up before they even finish. The same is true for the truck driving program. Once they know a new cohort of students have started, they'll come out. They'll start recruiting, if you will. It's almost like an NFL combine. They're watching, they're selecting people, and they're interviewing them. A lot of our students either have jobs or interviews lined up before they even finish the program. Our students get excited when we have employers coming out, watching, looking, and talking to them. As part of the program, our instructors work with them on resumes. They help them prep resumes and offer preparation for interviews, Gonzalez said. Companies that look for OC linemen, along with Encore, are Pike, Eastern New Mexico Electric and Borderline, which is south of Alpine. The linemen are excited about what they do. They care about each other, and there is a lot of camaraderie. They want to make sure everyone gets home safely every day. Everybody in that field loves that work. If you're at a job site and they'll all get off, but they put on their hard hats and they're all huddled up together, it's cool. They care about each other, Gonzalez said. Grill safety. The relaxing nature of summer can make it easy to overlook safety, particularly when grilling. However, the right safety measures when cooking over an open flame can prevent home fires and other accidents that can cause injury and even death. In recognition of the many things that can go wrong when grilling, the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the U.S. Fire Administration offer these simple fire safety tips that every grill master can keep in mind as summer grilling season hits full swing. Only use a grill outside. Grills should never be used indoors, and that includes in garages with the doors open. Before lighting a flame, make sure the grill is at least 3 feet from siding, deck rails, and eaves. Establish a safe zone around the grill. A 3-foot safe zone around the grill can decrease the likelihood that pets will run into and potentially tip over the grill. Kids can be taught to respect this zone as well so they avoid being burned. Open a gas grill before lighting it. Charcoal grills, hybrid grills, and smokers cannot be lit unless the lid is lifted. That isn't the case with gas grills, but gas grills should never be lit with the lid closed. If a gas grill is lit with the lid closed, gas can build up inside and that should cause an explosion. Even if there's some summer rain falling, open the lid on a gas grill before turning the ignition switch. Keep an eye on the grill at all times. It's tempting to walk away from a grill while food is cooking, but someone should always be tasked with staying close to the grill. If cooks must walk away, ask another adult to stay close to the grill until you return. All it takes is a few seconds for a fire to start. Clean the grill regularly. Regular cleaning of the grill is both healthy and safe. Cleaning helps to ensure the cooking surface is clean and unlikely to cause food poisoning. But a grease-free grill also poses less of a fire hazard than one that hasn't been cleaned. Let coals cool before discarding them. Coals from the grill should be given ample time to cool before they're removed from the grill and discarded. And remember to turn the gas valve to the off position after cooking. When cooking with gas grills, cooks must remember to turn the valve to the off position once all the food has been cooked. Simple safety measures can ensure summer grilling season goes off without a hitch. PSP, a bell hanger helping Midland Harmony. The Permian Strategic Partnership, along with Abel Hanger Foundation, announced Tuesday a $15.6 million initiative to expand the Harmony Public School System in the Permian Basin. The investment will help address the critical need for high-quality seats in our community by establishing the Midland Harmony Science Academy and expanding access to a science, technology, engineering, and math-based education. High-quality education and rigorous curriculum is a cornerstone of a thriving community, and every student deserves access to the opportunity to a top-notch STEM education experience, regardless of their background or circumstances. Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the PSP, said in a news release, "By continuing to invest in public education, whether through public charters or further bolstering our independent school districts, we are investing in the long-term prosperity of the Permian Basin. As world energy demand grows, so too does the need for access to superior K-12 education in the Permian Basin, not only to grow our own workforce, but to attract talent from across the country whose children will attend school in the region. The Harmony Science Academy will initially offer 200 seats for elementary students and expand enrollment to 1,500 pre-K through 12th grade students over the next decade. We are pleased to continue our decades-long commitment to education with support of the expansion of the Harmony School Network into Midland," Mark Palmer, CEO of the Abel Hanger Foundation, said in the release. The first grants made from the foundation in 1955 were given to establish scholarships, and since inception, the foundation has given more than 30% of all grants to further educational opportunities in the Permian Basin. We are grateful for a strategic new funding partner in PSP, enabling greater opportunity to advance quality educational choices. Ensuring equitable access to quality education is our shared responsibility, and we are humbled to embark on this journey in partnership with the Permian Strategic Partnership and the Abel Hanger Foundation. The initiative to establish Harmony Science Academy in Midland signifies a commitment to nurturing young minds and preparing them for a future driven by STEM fields, said CEO Fatih Ai. We are excited to continue to be a part of the Permian Basin community, and we extend our gratitude to our partners for their dedication to shaping a brighter educational landscape. Harmony Public Schools is a tuition-free system of 61 public charter schools in Texas that provides rigorous, high-quality education focused on STEM. Through a caring and collaborative environment, Harmony provides students from traditionally underserved communities the opportunity to excel through project-based learning, where they learn the skills necessary to become contributing global citizens. Harmony Science Academy is expected to open in the fall of 2024 in temporary classroom space while construction is underway. Construction is anticipated to be completed for a fall of 2025 grand opening. Enrollment for pre-K through second grade will be open beginning on November the 1st. For additional information, please visit harmonytx.org.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.